Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. Hey, thanks for listening, my friends. I'm glad that you could join me for this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we're all about helping iron sharpen iron and becoming better ministers of the gospel. So again, we can lead more to reach more, because that is what KMC is all about. So today, I want to talk about some truths that I have been learning and have learned from a couple of men that I highly respect. One of them is a personal coach and mentor and now a cherished friend. The other two are more of a virtual mentor type. I've met one of them in person and had a few minutes of conversation with them, but the other I've never met in person, but have listened to for many years, read many of his books, and I am blessed that I've lived in a time where I could learn from such wisdom. But before we launch into the content, I want to ask a serious question. Who coaches and mentors you? Not the virtual kind, but I'm saying, who is that person that helps you grow and who helps you learn, who helps you when you need to vent, who can walk through a crisis or a challenge with you when you're stuck, when you're discouraged? Who is that person? Do you have one? Do you have somebody that will help you become the best you that you can be? One of the best investments I ever made as a kids pastor was when I went out and found someone who was more experienced, who had great respect by others, and who would be intentional about challenging me to be the best leader I could be. For me, I found Jim Weidman. Now, I have talked to many other leaders in kids ministry. There are many others who I've respected and do respect and who have given me lots of things to think about and have challenged me and caused me to grow. But the one that I count as a coach and as a mentor is Jim. And for me, he was somebody who was offering a program called Infuse and Infuse Plus. And I took the financial investment and jumped into his program. I made some sacrifices so that I could make the investment to be in that program. And for me, it was the best investment I'd ever made in my life. I've been to a lot of conferences. I've read a lot of books. I've done a lot of programs. But the best experience I've had and the most growth, accelerated growth I've had, is when I hired myself a coach. I paid someone to be intentional with me. And I continue to do that with Jim, and I continue to go to him and seek out his wisdom. And I'm thankful for that. I want to challenge you that if you don't have a coach, you need somebody. You will do better. You will lead more and reach more with the gospel. You will be a better leader, a better follower of Christ. It really helps you in so many different ways. You have no idea until you take the time. I know there's a lot of other programs out there. I know there are people out there that call themselves coaches. I would just offer you to say, check them out. Check out even what KMC Coaching offers. I would be honored, and I would count it a high privilege, to offer you a free consult where we could sit down and hear your story, where I could hear what you're dreaming about. I could hear what you're struggling with. And if I'm not a good fit for you as a coach and mentor, I promise I will recommend you to another coach and I'll make a personal introduction. I promise you also this, I will not upsell you on anything. I will not force you to pay in to a bunch of programs. It will be a straight up, this is what you get. For your money, for your investment, and I will be there for you. And there's no pressure. There's no upselling. There's no I'm going to tell you, you have to buy up to the next level, to the next level. I'm not going to do any of those things. That's not the way God has called me to do this. This is what I do full time. And I love doing it. I love this past week. I've had the opportunity to talk to a number of leaders and do some coaching calls. And it has been fantastic. It's what energizes me. It is what God has asked me to do in this season. And this is what I want to do. So if you have not found someone to coach you, I would love for you to head over to kmccoach.net and hit that free consult button and check it out. Let's talk, let's have a conversation, and let's see how we can grow together and help you go further faster as well to lead more and to reach more. So in this episode, guys, I titled it about the three men. I titled this episode Lessons from Jim, John, and Kerry. And there are three lessons from Jim Weidman, John Maxwell, and Kerry Newhoff. These three guys have really been instrumental in helping me develop KMC coaching, helping me to develop my own leadership as a children's pastor, as a family pastor. And I wanted to share some lessons with you that I just felt like today would be a good day to share these things. So let me start with Jim. Jim hit me with a couple truths that I've had in my notes on my phone that I'll look back on periodically. I have a list of quotes and different things that I use to just keep me sharp and to keep me attentive. And one of those quotes that always sticks with me is this: anything that you don't evaluate won't grow. Period. Anything you don't evaluate won't grow. And the second quote, the challenge that he gave me, was that you have to inspect what you expect. And if you don't inspect what you expect, then you're never going to see the growth that you have. So they kind of run together, that what you don't evaluate won't grow, and what you don't inspect, or what you have to inspect what you expect, they run together. And in this time and this new now, what are you evaluating? What are you measuring? As leaders, we need to make sure that we're constantly evaluating our evangelism, our discipleship strategies, our growth structures, our volunteer onboarding and care and support. But let me go back to the first things I mentioned. How are you evaluating and inspecting your evangelism and discipleship strategy? Because let me ask you, what else really matters? I think one of the things that, as I've been evaluating, and as I've been working with other coaching students, we've been talking a lot about evangelism and discipleship. Because during this time in our world, we need to be sharing Jesus more than ever. That is what we're supposed to be doing. That is our number one objective. And I fear we've lost some of that. I fear we've lost that urgency that Jesus is returning and that we need to share the gospel. We need to be soul winning. I know that's an old-fashioned word, but it's the truth. How many children are coming to Christ, entering a relationship with Jesus in a personal way in your ministry? That's what matters. It's not how flashy your videos are. It's not how wonderful your stage looks. What truly matters the most is, are you helping children come to Jesus? And when they come to Jesus and start that relationship, are you helping them learn how to follow Jesus? Are you helping them learn how to talk to him, how to seek him out for wisdom, how to handle his word, how to know truth, how to love others, how to value others, how to care for others, how to share their faith with others? That's what matters. And so I wonder, are we evaluating these things or not? And are they growing? I think a lot of us are more concerned of how many are not coming back to church, but we're also not even asking, have you been effective sharing the gospel during this time? And what do we need to do in 2020 and 2021 to bring the gospel to the forefront again? So I ask you to think about, what are you measuring and what are you evaluating? And are you evaluating children's spiritual growth? What are you doing to come alongside the parents to assist them and cheer them on? I know there's a lot of us that tend to beat up parents in the forums because we don't think they are doing their job. But I would turn it around and ask you, what have you done lately to help them? What have you done lately to equip them? Now, I know you'll say, well, I'm sending home videos and papers and all that. No, 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 no. As a children's pastor, we're shepherds. We lead sheep. We have to help guide them and direct them. And it's our responsibility to disciple too. It's not just the senior pastor's job. It's our job too. We're to work together as a community of faith. And so I would challenge you and push back. What's your plan for helping parents? What needs to change in your heart and your attitude? Do you need to repent of a negative attitude towards families that aren't doing what you think they ought to be doing? And instead of criticizing, go cheer them on. Go encourage them. Have some coffee with them and ask some questions and inquire how they're doing and what they're doing. See if there's some things you could offer to help them. If you expect them to disciple and lead their children in a relationship with Jesus, have you given them all the help possible to make that happen? And are you praying for it to happen? Are you sitting there asking parents, how's it doing? How's your children doing? Do you see spiritual growth in their life? What are your kids struggling with spiritually? What are the questions they have? What do you think scares them? What do you think they think when it comes to that idea of saying, is Jesus living inside of you? Is he your friend? Is he your savior? Have you ever asked those questions of families to see how they're doing with that? I want to tell you how I've applied some of Jim's principles. One of the things that I did in one of my churches is we offered to train and equip any parent that wanted it. Now, not all parents took advantage of this, and that was okay. I love everybody, no matter whether they took the training or not, but we offered it, we recorded it, we made it available, we made all the resources available, we didn't shame anybody for missing it, we just gave it out as much as we could. And then we encouraged people lovingly to watch and to apply it. We encouraged them and we cheered for them and we let them know that, hey, when your child makes that decision to step across the line of faith, we want to celebrate with you. We will have a spiritual birthday party for them because we want to celebrate it. I would encourage you to set a system up that you could do that. Because again, we would inspect what we expect. We expected the parents to share the gospel with their children. So we made a system so that they could do it. We gave them the resources and the tools, a variety of different tools that they could use with their children. We showed them step by step how to do it. We role played it so they could see it in action. So we took all the questions away and all the fear factor away. And then we turned them loose and we challenged them and we encouraged them and we cheered for them and we prayed for them. And we started to see results. We started to see parents sharing Jesus with their children and watching them accept Christ and then getting to baptize their children. And then we had another resource ready and prepared so that when a child made a step across a faith across the line, we gave them a discipleship book and we showed parents again how to do it so that their parents could begin to walk through with their child and show them step by step how to talk to Jesus, how to read his word, how to pray, and how to share their own faith. It was amazing the results that happened. We showed them how to do it. And we inspected what we expected, and we did that, and we saw growth. So what do you need to inspect? What do you need to evaluate to see if there's growth happening? What area will you start with first? What are some questions that you need to ask yourself and your team? Dig into it. Set some deadlines at it, and go for it. Don't worry about what you can't do. Don't worry about those that can't or won't do it. Focus on those that can. Do for a few what you wish you would do for many and see what happens. Leave the results up to God. He's got this, guys. So my next one is my mentor that's a virtual one. Never met him before, but John Maxwell. John has shared some tremendous gold. And if you don't subscribe to his podcast, you need to. They are gold. There's so much gold in there that you can use to develop even other leaders. And he wants you to share this stuff. So I'm honored to share some of John's thoughts. These are John's thoughts, not my thoughts. I'm not taking any credit for this. But these were so good, I had to share them with somebody. So I'm sharing them with you, my friends. One of the things that I thought was so perfect for the timing, and this was an older podcast, I'll try to put the link into it. He was talking about his new book, Leadershift, which isn't even his newest book now. But one of the things he said as leaders is that we need to continually learn, unlearn, and relearn. And man, I thought that was so powerful. I've been in ministry for 33 years now, and there is so much that I need to continue to learn. There's things I need to let go of, and there's things I need to relearn. And John shared in this one podcast a cycle of success, as he called it. And I thought this was really profound and wanted to share it with you as well. So here's the cycle of success. First, you need to test it. Then you're going to fail. Then you're going to learn from that. And then you're going to improve, and you're going to re-enter and start all over again. And you're going to keep going. Let me tell you, if you're not testing and you're not failing and you're not learning from those failures and those successes and you're not improving the thing and then you're not relaunching it and re-entering it, then you're missing a lot. It's funny because I've seen some really fancy programs out there in kids' ministry world and church world. Oh my word. There's so many people telling us how to grow our churches from 2 to 2,000. And there's people telling us, here's the perfect plan for volunteers and the perfect plan for outreach. And they've got all the flash and the glitz and the glamour and all the logos and the fancy colors. Let me tell you, there's a lot that I would love to ask some of those people about. Okay, I don't want to see all the glam. I want to know, what'd you learn from your failures? What'd you learn? What have you had to unlearn lately and relearn? Don't tell me about all the flash. Because there's a lot I want to learn and unlearn right now. There's some things during COVID-19 that I've gone, you know what? I can't do that anymore. That system is not going to work anymore post-COVID. And it's going to have to change. And I see in some of my coaching students, we've walked through this before too, that we've asked the question, what are some things we have to stop doing right now? Because they are going to be detrimental and not instrumental in moving us forward. You got to value yesterday, but live for today. What's the new now? That's where we got to live. Because yesterday ended last night, as John said. And I loved that, man. That's one you got to put up by your clock. Yesterday ended last night. Now, here's another good one that I thought John was really profound on. Rely on speed, but thrive on timing. You know, sometimes we introduce things and it wasn't the right time because we got this sense of urgency and we were running Mach 5 with our hair on fire. And I don't know if there's a Mach 5, but whatever, Mach 3, with your hair on fire and you're screaming and raging ahead. And we haven't really responded appropriately. We're not thriving on the perfect timing. I know that caught me. I will truly confess that this is one of those areas where I failed a lot on. I'm a very spontaneous person. I'm a very gung-ho. I get an idea. I want to start. I'm a great starter. And sometimes relying on speed but thriving on timing has not always been my strongest suit until these last seasons of life where I've learned to slow down and respond and not react. And I've tried to help those that are around me in the coaching and in the KMC community and children's ministry communities to say, hey, slow down and let's thrive on doing things the right way in the perfect time. Because here's the thing that I have learned, and again, John said this as well, that as a leader, the big picture should keep getting bigger. You know, we as leaders should see things before other people see them, you know? We should see the big picture. So in this time, that's part of what scares us so badly is we don't see the big picture right now. Everything hit us so hard and so fast, And it was so unexpected, the amount of time we've been closed and away from our families and friends and the disruption of our services. None of us truly saw that coming. We didn't see that pit in the big picture. But now we need to pivot and we need to move forward. And we need to realize that that big picture is still getting bigger. And so we need to be ahead of it. Because here's the thing, and man, was this a perfect mic drop moment. John said, you know, leaders are going to see more than others and they're going to see it before others. But if you see the bandwagon, it's too late to lead. If you see the bandwagon, it's too late to lead. You know, I don't want to be the kind of leader that leads a children's ministry or leads the KMC and the bandwagon has already passed us by. I want to keep challenging the kids ministry community to keep pushing forward and that we're ahead of the bandwagon. And that leads me to Kerry Newhoff's lesson. He talks about the idea that change never asks for permission. And boy, is that true. COVID-19 never asked our permission to disrupt our lives, to turn our world upside down, to close our doors on our churches. But here's the thing. That change comes fast. And Kerry Newhoff in his book, Didn't See It Coming. There we go. I had a brain freeze there for a second. Talks about in his book, A Path to Irrelevance. And he quotes Rick Warren, and he says, Rick said it well when he said, the speed of change around an organization is faster than the speed of change inside the organization. The organization itself will become irrelevant. So let me read it one more time. When the speed of change around an organization is faster than the speed of change inside the organization becomes irrelevant. And that is really, really true. If the gap behind how quickly you change and how quickly things change around you, that's called irrelevance. And if you don't change, you will become irrelevant as a leader. And so you don't want to be that kid's pastor who's stuck in some other era because that's where you grew up. That's where you have the great memories. And I see that a lot. I see it a lot in student ministry. I see it a lot in children's ministry and in churches where we get stuck in a certain decade or era where our tastes and our knowledge and our experience, everything for us was shaped. Those were the good old days. And we pick that and we freeze there. And that is a huge mistake, especially in the new now. That if you get stuck in a certain decade and you think that the ministry can only run this way, you're on the path to irrelevance. I'm just saying that plain and simple and straight up. I love all of you out there, but some of you are stuck in the 1970s and 80s because that's where you grew up. That's where you have your memories. I've seen youth pastors come up and children's pastors come up and try to duplicate what they saw and what worked years ago, and they keep trying to do those same things. Now, I'm not saying all we have to throw everything out. There's a lot of things that I think worked better back then, and we could implement them now, and they would work great. So I don't want to throw everything out, but I also don't want to be frozen in there and be on the path to irrelevance. When culture starts shifting, like I said, when the bandwagon starts moving, we've got to be ahead of it. We've got to be on the first horse in front of the bandwagon. We need to see more than others, and we need to lead before others. And I think Kerry got the vision right, that we need to make sure that our systems and our structures change, not our value system, not what we hold as right and true. When we do that, we sell our souls out and we lose the heart of the church. And some of that's happening today. We have shifted. We've let culture influence us instead of letting the Word of God and the Holy Spirit influence us. And we should be helping change the culture, not the culture changing the church. And so again, I will challenge you that as scary as that is, feel the fear, but lead through it anyway. Keep pushing through. Don't get stuck in a particular decade. Don't get on the path to irrelevance, because change isn't going to ask you for permission. It's just going to happen. And if you're going to be effective in your children's ministry and in your leadership, you need to be that kind of leader that draws people to the vision and says, now run with me. Be that kind of leader that loves people first before programs, that is so committed to saying, look, I will do anything but sin to reach somebody with the gospel. So let's go. My friends, I'm here to help. I'm your friend. I'm your brother in ministry. I'm here to serve you. If there's something that the Kid Ministry Collective can do for you, we're here. We want to help. We want you to stay relevant in the culture that you live in. We want to help you shift. We want to help you see things bigger, because it really is bigger than all of us. And let me ask this. What's at stake if we don't? What's at stake if we don't evaluate? What's at stake if we don't look into some of the principles of relearning things? What if we get stuck in yesterday instead of today? What's at stake? What's at stake if we don't have a system to lead children to Christ? What's at stake if we don't have a system to disciple parents so they can disciple their kids? What I want to challenge you to do is take a few minutes after this podcast and sit down and think about what we've talked about. Sit down and grab a notepad, pray a little bit, and ask God to show you what you need to evaluate, what needs to grow, what systems need to change, what do you need to see as a bigger picture, what do you need to test, what's failed and what's succeeded and what can you learn from it, what do you need to improve and how do you re-engage? People have been wondering, how do we re-engage people to get them back to church? Well, go through the process and start asking the questions, and God will show you the answers. He's amazing like that. You don't need another course or book or conference to show you the way. The answers are in the Spirit of God and in His wisdom and in His truth. But again, if you get stuck, if you're spinning your wheels, if you feel overwhelmed by all this, head over to KMC Coach and hit that free consult button, just because I don't want to see you keep spinning your wheels. And I'm here to help. So schedule a time. Let's talk. Reach out on the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. If you're not part of the group, come join it and ask your questions there. There's lots of wisdom, way smarter than me. There are people way smarter than me that are in this group that can help you. And we'll be glad to partner with you. Thanks for listening. Keep sharing. Keep sharing our podcast. Keep reviewing if you haven't. Keep subscribing if you haven't. We are getting really close after this episode of hitting 50,000 downloads. And I say thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the community. Thanks for being a follower of Christ. Thanks for being my brother or my sister. I pray for you. If there's anything I can do to serve you, I'm here. I'm Tom. Thanks for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We have got some great episodes with some special guests coming up. Can't wait to share these episodes with you. God bless you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.